Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker. This is Talk Wrestling on TalkSport 2.
Welcome to the Talk Wrestling podcast with me, Alex McCarthy. My man Will Gavin is absent this week, but Simon Miller, as you will hear, stepped up, to the plate. We do a Hell in a Cell review with Trent Seven and Ginny from NXT UK. What a pay-per-view that was, with so much going on in the cells either side of the event. So we're going to delve into that with them. We've also got guests on the show, Grant Holt, former Premier League striker. Did you know he's also been a professional wrestler? Well, you're going to learn more about that tonight here on Talk Wrestling. And we've also got impressionist Al Ferran. You might think Brock Lesnar has stopped by on the show as well, but I promise you, it is just Al Ferran. Without further ado, let me direct you to the Hell in a Cell review. We have NXT UK's finest in Trent Seven and Ginny, the media conglomerate, I'm going to call them these days, doing their business on the run-in on BT Sport. They're here to break down Hell in a Cell. Guys, how are we?
Very well, thank you.
Delighted to get you on. I've been digging what you guys have been doing on BT.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you took to it like a duck to water, both of you. Is that something that you've both wanted to do? Ginny, I'll start with you first. Have you wanted to do this kind of thing for a while?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look over what they're doing stateside with The Bump, it's such a great show. And it's nice to sort of have our own thing here in the UK, it's, you know, for British viewers to watch us and, you know, have a perspective from, you know, the wrestling side of it, and to break down and analyse and, you know, throw our predictions out there. It's great fun. It's great fun, like, you know, hosting with Trent, you know, a fellow wrestler who, you know, worked together for quite a few years. So it's definitely something I personally enjoy.
And you love it, don't you, Trent? You love it. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's always been a part of the entertainment industry that is probably the first thing that got me excited about it as a kid. I was watching people like Wogan and people like that, and Jonathan Ross, and, you know, the presentation side of it is perfect. But, you know, it's luckily bled itself into me working my way into it somehow. And obviously going through professional wrestling and going through the WWE and sports entertainment is the way they've taken. But yeah, the wrestling career is not done yet, so don't worry, your jobs are safe, boys.
I'm only going to be doing this
you know, on the side for now. I've still got a couple of titles that I've got my eyes on. So yeah.
Oh, I mean, Simon, you dabble in the ring, so I'm the odd one out, really. You guys have got it all covered.
Well, I mean, I haven't done it, obviously, for obvious reasons. I haven't been in the ring in, what, 16 months? And I actually have my first match in the next few weeks. And I'm probably, well, bad things are going to happen, because nothing can prepare you for being in a ring other than being in a ring. So by that point, my you know, I may just vanish and my spot may be there for the taking. But until then, I will continue to do my best.
I must say, though, it's amazing, like 10 years ago, to think now we've got shows like The Run-In and radio shows like this talking about wrestling, man. I feel like that's great progress for all concerned. But let's get into Hell in a Cell, shall we? Simon, I think chronologically is a good place to start, because I was pleasantly surprised with, well, I mean, maybe that does them a bit of a disservice, but I thought Natalya and Mandy Rose was pretty good.
I really liked it. I thought it was really good. I think the only reason you probably had those expectations, for lack of a better word, is because sometimes the pre-show match pops up from nowhere, and it's usually, the pre-show match is usually quite entertaining and quite fun, but more often than not, it doesn't actually tie into a story. Whereas now, you know, we've got this, well, this new women's tag team program that we're sort of leaning towards. And I just thought it was a nice way to kind of kick that off, and hopefully showed a lot of people, because they really stuck to sort of mat-based wrestling, which I always enjoy. Like when you get to the technical stuff and the fundamental stuff, I always get a kick out of it. And it kind of showed a different side to Mandy Rose. Obviously, Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke mostly have been doing the character work. Now they're going to transition across. So yeah, I thought it was, I really enjoyed it for a pre-show match. Did what it had to do, you know, set up for the rest of the show. I don't know what you thought about it, Trent. I mean, were you able to catch the pre-show match? Because that's the other thing. Sometimes people, I've done this many a time. I'm like, oh, I forgot about the pre-show. But this week I didn't.
Yeah, I think just to echo your words, it's always nice to get that kind of match out of nowhere, you know, something that you didn't expect, just something to kind of warm you into it. Because Hell in a Cell is a heavy, heavy pay-per-view. Do you know what I mean? I think there was, three Hell in a Cell matches, right? No, two.
Two. We got two.
Yeah, two. Sorry.
Bookended it.
Yeah, the other one they brought forward, right?
Yes,
yes. That's right, yeah.
That's fair. Three is fair.
So, yeah, it's a very heavy pay-per-view. I mean, and as we saw yesterday, the physicality is just next level when it comes to Hell in a Cell. So, as you say, to kind of kick things off with something a little bit more traditional, a little bit more kind of like, you know, within the four walls of the ring, I think it was a nice little treat for everyone, a nice little ease into the kind of horrific anger and frustration that was unleashed over the course of the next few matches. But yeah,
Ginny, it's always great to see Natalya doing her thing, right? Like in a straight up singles like that. And Mandy Rose looks like she's making great strides.
Oh, absolutely. I have to give it to Mandy Rose as well. Like, I think she's a great performer, but she really held her own in this match as well. She showed, you know, the WWE fans a different side to her. You know, not many people actually can keep up technical wrestling wise with Natalya. You know, Natalya has wrestling in her blood, but she done a fantastic job. And myself, Trent, and also Rob, we touched upon this in on the run-in a couple of days ago. I always love seeing Natalya in the ring. She is one of the women who has come up in this industry and has always brought it to every single match. And she definitely brought a new side to not only what she can do, you know, as a tag team champion alongside with Tamina, but also as a singles competitor. And she brought the best out of Mandy Rose. So definitely a good way to start off, you know, the show.
Yeah, I definitely thought it was mission accomplished on all things there. It really served its purpose, that match. And that led us into the first match of the night, being Bayley and Bianca Belair inside Hell in a Cell. Now, I'm going to say it from the jump. I thought it was my match of the night, personally. Ginny, I'll start with you again. What did you make of what transpired? Because there was a lot of innovative stuff with the hair and kendo sticks. And, you know, I mean, women in Hell in a Cell, they've set themselves a ridiculous bar when you look at the matches they've had thus far.
Absolutely. And I knew for a fact, because if you go back and watch what happened between both Bayley and Bianca at WrestleMania Backlash, you knew there was so much heat, so much animosity between the two of them. And like I said before as well, Bayley wants to be at the top of the mountain. She wants to be walking into the next pay-per-view as the champion. Unfortunately, she's not going to be able to do that unless, you know, a title happens, you know, on SmackDown between now and the next pay-per-view. But they both brought it. And like you said as well, you know, the Hell in a Cell matches that, for example, Charlotte and Sasha had, absolutely incredible match. These two brought it to the table. Very intense, very aggressive, very violent. They both wanted that title. Bianca wanting to keep it. Bayley wanting to get to the top of the mountain. Fantastic match. I would actually say it's my match of the night, personally. My match of the night, 100%.
Listen, Trent, that finish.
I, funny enough, we did say this actually on the run-in. I'm a little bit lost for words to describe just what an impact Bianca Belair's had on the main roster. She's unreal. Like, she's genuinely unreal. She may well be part alien. I don't know what's going on. it's just such a combination of the power, the strength, the speed, the agility, the charisma. But now you saw this kind of vicious little edge coming out as well. Like, there's no more superlatives for her. I just see incredible things, obviously, in her future. And I think everyone sees that. But there was something I wanted to say, and I've kind of forgotten. Yeah. My theory going into this was, obviously, I didn't think, you know, it wasn't actually advertised as the Hell in a Cell match, right?
Yes, originally,
in my, I assumed, and the reason why I kind of assumed that is because of just how much Bianca Belair's done in such an incredibly short space of time, career-wise. You know, the Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, WrestleMania Backlash, beating everyone on the roster, having these incredible standard of matches. I thought it was more of a case of, do you want to put her? Do you want to put her inside a Hell in a Cell yet, or do you want to hold that back? But the world got an absolute treat, and they got Bianca Belair, and she's just on fire at the minute, absolutely on fire.
Yeah, I don't want to do it like a disservice or anything, Simon, because obviously, as everything Trent just said is true, but my word, like having her with Bayley and Sasha Banks for this kind of like inaugural run, like into the title and the first defences, it's just done her the world of good, right? She's looked amazing.
Oh, man. Like, I think we can call Hell in the Cell the last of the pandemic era pay-per-views, right? Because obviously Money in the Bank's going to be in front of fans. And to me, not that you ever need to do this because everybody smashes it, but if someone said, oh, Simon, who's your MVP of this pandemic era? I'd give it to Bayley. I really would. Like, you know, didn't have a bad match, had all these incredibly good feuds. And actually, in a way, I think it kind of benefited her because she went through this massive character change from like the hugger and everything's great with the weird wiggly things like Bayley buddies. to being sort of like your crazy off the wall aunt who is absolutely going to beat you if you cross her. And that kind of transition takes time. And we know that sometimes fans can go, well, they can be a bit impatient with these things, but I thought she has taken the last year and a half, whatever it's been, and is invaluable and has got to be considered right now one of the best wrestlers, full stop, for me. She has, you know, she brings everything to it. And the other thing that these two did that I thought was really impressive is this was our second Hell in a Cell match in 3 days. We were going to get a third one later. So they were going to have to bring things to it that didn't sort of wear you out because, you know, law of averages states, you know, the first one's probably going to be more exciting than the third one just because you get used to it. And again, yeah, like you already said, the unique elements they brought to it, it was, I agree with you and everybody else, highlight of the night for me. I thought this match was awesome. Although saying that, because we then moved into match number two, which was also just ridiculous because they're two good wrestlers that you could put in any situation in the world and they'd absolutely smash it.
You're almost a pro at this, Simon. Tremendous segue into Cesaro and Seth Rollins there. Yeah, let's get straight into that, right? Because these guys, obviously, we've had WrestleMania and Cesaro got his big victory there and the feud has been kind of bubbling along nicely with Cesaro flirting with that main event slot. And of course, he did have the title shot and many of us want him to remain around there. I guess, Trent, I'll start with you, man. What did you make of this outing for the two? Like, they can't have a bad match, can they?
Right, okay, let's go in. Disappointment, I think, is the one thing that is the main thing I took from it. And not just for me, you know, not wanting this kind of Cesaro run to keep bubbling and keep growing and keep him right, you know, pushing up to the top of the card for those titles. But more so the look on his face at the end. You know, it did kind of come out of nowhere. It was a little bit caught short and, you know... I thought obviously on the night, and it's nothing to do with being biased either. I have such an utmost level of respect for both of these guys as competitors, but you know, I've seen Rollins with titles, I've seen him with the massive WrestleMania entrances, I've seen him set fire to the road, the ramp, and everything. I've seen him burn it down, I've seen him potentially try and drip it along, but you know, me personally, I'm ready for Cesaro. So for me, it was a little bit of a disappointment. You know, I wanted to see Cesaro come out of that strong. But the one thing that, I think that we can take out of it is that, you know, that's pretty much one all. You know, I'm seeing a little bit of an evener. You know, I want to see that kind of, I want to see that rubber match happen, you know, and, you know, the sooner the better. And with things like SummerSlam just around the corner, you know, hopefully we can get a result to this. But yeah, I'm pure Team Cesaro all the way.
Well, I mean, speaking of that, Ginny, Money in the Bank's around the corner. Cesaro should be sniffing at that. What did you make of it?
And I do not believe that this is the end of Cesaro's run around the main event. He is an absolutely fantastic competitor. And he brought it in that match as well. Like you said, those two can't get in the ring and have a bad match. The match was absolutely phenomenal. Second match of the night for me, personally. It was great. Disappointing to see, obviously, Rollins, you know, with the victory, purely because I do not like his suits. So I was Team Cesaro because of the fashion. But I don't think that, you know, this is going to affect Cesaro in a bad way. I think he's going to go into Money in the Bank, win. And you never know when he's going to cash it in. I think there's so many more things that he has got to do and so many more things that he can 100% achieve.
It's Alexa Bliss. It's Shayna Baszler. It's one of those that's always going to divide Twitter and wrestling in general. I said this yesterday. I'm always kind of open to the outlandish. If you're a pro wrestling fan, I guess you have to be, right? I love The Undertaker, for God's sake. But what did you make of Alexa Bliss and Shayna Baszler last night? Because Nia Jax was having to do what she was told via hypnosis.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned that first bit, because I need that in my wrestling, right? I need the hocus pocus. I need the nonsense. But it doesn't always mean that it's going to be for me on any given day. But as you said, the Kane Undertaker storyline is one of my favorite ever. So you can't sit here and go, oh, well, I'm all right with lightning bolts coming from people's hands, but hypnosis, no, it's not for me. However, you know, it's just, you never know what you're going to want from your entertainment, right? And there's so many wrestling programs every single year. You cannot expect a home run every single time. And wherever I am with my wrestling life right now, I much prefer the Alexa Bliss character when she's in the ring wrestling. I think, you know, I prefer that to all the backstage stuff they've been doing. But I will say it was a little bit hard for me to suspend my disbelief, I'll go with, when you got Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss kind of screaming at each other and poor old Reginald just gets beaten up every single week. So look, I laughed my way through it. I just don't know whether that's the intention that they were going for. But I'm honestly, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I am happy that it exists, especially because it does spark such debate online. I have no idea what Alexa Bliss does now. I mean, surely she just uses her voodoo powers to go after the championship. That's what I would do.
You think that?
Well, I would think that. But no, look, it wasn't necessarily... Well, I'm kind of torn on it because half of it, I'm like, you know what? It's fun. It's ridiculous. My other half is like, I'm not 100% sure I'm buying into it as much as maybe they were, you know, they hoped that I would do. But Ginny, what do you think about it? I mean, I love getting people's opinions. You know, where do you fall down?
I absolutely loved it. I really, really did. I love all this stuff that Alexa is doing. And for someone like Alexa to get into the head of Shayna Baszler, who ever thought that would ever happen? Like, she's someone that, you know, she's a legitimate fighter. She's incredible. She's strong. She's a great performer. She ticks all the boxes to, you know, what women are within wrestling. She really, really does. But you never thought you'd see that vulnerable side. So Alexa definitely done something right there. I loved it. I'm glad that Alexa picked up the win. I think if she continues this way, like you said, she's definitely going to go towards that title. And so she should. You know, she's had a fantastic career within WWE and also NXT. So she definitely deserves to be back at the top of the division, 100%.
Trent, what do you think about everything that transpired? Because what I will say is I loved Alexa's dialed up aggression inside the ropes. I thought all of that stuff was great.
Yeah, I think the Alexa Vader character has got some depth. I like it. Similar thing though, like, you know, not everything is supposed to be for everyone, but everything can be assumed by most, you know, consumed by everyone. And if you like it, you like it. And if you don't, you don't. That's fine. Like you said, the debate it brings up is obviously really good. It's topical, and it gives professional wrestling another, you know, in sports entertainment, another angle to come from. But I'm a fan of it. I am. It's like you said, like, you know, the first ever thing I saw was Blue Blazer coming in, you know, to wrestle Mr. Perfect at WrestleMania 5. You know, it was Macho Man Randy Savage, and I'm pretty sure his name wasn't Macho Man. And I don't know how macho he was in person. I've never met him. And I don't know if, as warriors go, he was the ultimate one. But to me, he was. Do you know what I mean? And I think you've just got to take things on face value and take it as the form of entertainment it is. And I was thoroughly entertained. I love it. I like that kind of thing has got real depth in professional, you know, in sports entertainment. As far as how far you can go with this and how far you can take it, I'd be opening the door to Vince McMahon's office without touching it. I'd be walking into Vince McMahon's office without him even seeing me. I'd make him pick up his pen, sign the main event SummerSlam contract for the Women's Championship. and then I'll float out. That's what I'll be doing. But I want to see where it goes. I want to see where they take it. I want to see them, you know, as much as obviously, you know, within the actual concept of the feud, I want to see the level of intensity turned up and up and up, just like you said. You know, within, you know, in the ring, it's a different Alexa Bliss, and that's exciting on its own merit. But I also want to see how far they take it. I want to see how far they kind of push this envelope. But I'm very excited to see what happens with it. It's exciting.
Yeah, and I also think, like, when you think about the quote-unquote pandemic era, this was the time to really push boundaries, right? It was absolutely the time to get creative. Yeah. And there has been some wild successes over the course of that, be it, you know, the cinematic matches and some of the characters and whatnot. So there you go. Lots of pluses involved there. Speaking of pluses, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn was next. This is much like in the vein of Cesaro and Seth, where it's like, man, you just know it's going to be good. Simon, what were your opening thoughts, my friend?
It's excellent. Honestly, like, I know they did that stipulation years ago that these two could never fight again. I can't remember what year it was now. I'm glad that we reneged on that. And I'm glad that we just went, you know what, that's a stupid idea. Let's just ignore that one, because they are, you know, they're Batman and the Joker. They're, you know, Superman and Lex Luthor. We can do this all day. They're just, the chemistry they have together is tremendous. I've never seen them have a bad match. I thought Sami Zayn getting the win was excellent, because a Sami Zayn win is rare, because obviously, you know, he usually gets into these kind of shenanigans that he can't get out of. But I will forever be in awe of just the sheer, again, just the chemistry that these two people have. It must be so hard to meet someone that you just link up with on that kind of level, that you can just have match, and every single one is good. So if they want to do this for the rest of the year and into 2022 and into 2023... I'll go along with it forever. Trent, what did you think about it, man? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, when you was coming up, Trent, you must have seen a lot of them. They've been fighting for years.
Yeah, it's like you say. It gets to the point where there's just some people who are not necessarily born to be wrestlers, but you're so happy that they chose this as their chosen form of financing their life. You know, whether you want to call it a job or not, because it is incredible, and it is incredible fun, you know, being able to do it and travel the world, you know, very soon again. But these guys have done it. Every country, every continent, every level of the industry, they've just delivered just time after time after time. I mean, it's like you said, like, who would not want to watch these guys wrestle? You know, hopefully there's a part down the line where, you know, they put their quarrels at rest. That's what I'm hoping for as well. I'd quite like to see that. But yeah, they're just two guys at the top of the game, and they're performing on the top level. And they just deliver time after time after time. But once again, it's a little bit similar to the Cesaro Rollins story as far as the result. You know, does this kind of level things off now? Does this get, you know, Sami Zayn back onto the, you know, that kind of same level as Kevin Owens now, with the kind of like the win losses and stuff? Where do we go from here? Once again, you know, it's just an exciting time to be a professional wrestling fan and to be a fan of the WWE as well, because there's a lot of product out there, there's a lot of content out there, but when the content bell to bell is as good as Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, you know, you're surely going to be entertained. So yeah, I'm excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, the story with Kevin obviously having the injury from Commander Aziz, they played it so well throughout the whole entire match. And he has tweeted, I think, saying that he's going to take a little break now. So hopefully they do pick it back up for SummerSlam. But I echo what you say, Trent. I want to see friendship one day. I'm just going to say it. Mustache Mountain, KO, Sami Zayn. I mean, who wouldn't want
it? I mean, I've had a very, very low-key match with Kevin Owens in a previous form of professional wrestling, which is very, very entertaining. For those diehard independent fans, I'm sure you'll be able to search out something on YouTube. But yeah, you know, it's all of our goals. You know, I hope I speak on behalf of you as well, Ginny. You know, we have such a wonderful pathway now from NXT UK all the way to the main roster. You know, we've seen it very recently with Viper. We've seen it incredibly with, you know, with Rhea Ripley, you know, main event of WrestleMania, you know, NXT UK Women's Champion, NXT Women's Champion, and then Raw Champion on WrestleMania. You know, the pathway is becoming more and more clearer for those at our kind of level. And yeah, let's keep all of them crossed and keep all of them all of the goals in sight, and hopefully one day you'll see Mustache Mountain versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn on Raw or SmackDown.
Ginny, that's a wonderful segue from Trent there, by the way, talking about Rhea Ripley and her accomplishments, because her and Charlotte Flair was up next. And I would love your thoughts on what transpired there, because there was a lot of character development, particularly at the end of this match.
Oh, the brutality in this match, similar to Bianca versus Bayley, was brilliant. These two hate each other, and I love a good feud. I really, really do. For the ending, you know, I would have liked to have seen Rhea, you know, pin Charlotte, 1, 2, 3. She still walked out as champion, though, so you can't take that away from her. You really, really can't. But does that mean that this is the end? No. You think Charlotte Flair's going to let it slide, that even though Rhea's still champion, she technically won that match. These two are going to continue with this feud. And I think Charlotte's definitely going to take that title back. I do. She calls herself the queen of WWE. And as the queen of NXT UK, I have so much respect. I really, really do. These two, they up their game. The next match, I think they're going to pull out all the stops. But Rhea is fantastic. And just like what you said as well, Trent, it is so nice to see an NXT UK alumni go from NXT UK to NXT to main roster, you know, Raw champion. She has done so, so much, just like Bianca, in such a short amount of time. She's absolutely fantastic. But I would love to see Charlotte as the champion once again. I really would.
Ooh, I mean,
it's not going to be an easy fight. Let's just say that. Rhea is not going to let that title just slip out of her hands.
I mean, she was close. And then Rhea seemingly got disqualified last night. And Charlotte was seen saying, "You're learning." And Rhea said, "I only did what you would have done." Very interesting development, I felt, out of the characters. But with time pressing, Simon Miller, we're on to the main event. I want everyone to get their say on the main event, because it was Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre going 25 minutes in Hell in a Cell. Man, it looked nasty. I can't say any other way. It looked brutal. Like, I know that's what Hell in a Cell is meant to be, but you know when you're watching it and you're like, oh my word, like that quote-unquote bump looks terrible. There was a lot of those. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I thought, like, again, if anyone hasn't seen it and you're not going to be able to catch up, just go and find Drew McIntyre's social media post of his back that looks like some kind of map that somebody has drawn. There's so many red lines. It is, I think sometimes we can, because we're so used to Hell in a Cell now, I think sometimes we can watch these matches and forget what we're actually seeing. Like, the sheer anger and violence and aggression was nuts. And again, I give them even more props because it was the third one we'd seen in 3 days. It's really hard to keep up that level of intensity. I really, really enjoyed this. I just thought it was well put together. I always assumed that Bobby Lashley would get the win because I just think it makes more sense for what you want to do next. And it allows, I think it gives Drew McIntyre more freedom, as bizarre as that, you know, that sounds, because there's a bunch of feuds that I want to see him in, a bunch of feuds that I want to see Bobby Lashley in. But as a way to kind of rubber stamp this pandemic era, which Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley in 2021 have been such an important part of,
yeah,
I thought it was great. One of my favorite Hell in a Cell matches in a long time. And I think Trent agrees. I heard a yep in there.
Yeah, very much so. You touched on this earlier regarding Bayley and the, you know, just the amount of work that she's done to kind of pad out her entire character. You know, we've seen people really, really tap into, you know, different sides and different characteristics of their personas and stuff, and brand new personas on top of that. So the pandemic era has been incredibly hard, especially as a, you know, for a live entertainment industry like ourselves. But you know, we have to be, you know, confident looking to the future and knowing full well that, you know, everything looks like things are going very, very swimmingly for Vegas. But yeah, you know, I think we touched on this on a few episodes ago of the running, where I actually said that I think Drew McIntyre is the MVP, as far as I'm concerned, for the pandemic era. Because, and this is talking from a performance perspective. It's hard to think about it like this, but you know, I'm just going to spit it out there for everyone and for all the listeners as well. That Hell in a Cell match last night was still in front of no people. Now, the motivation and / hatred you must have for someone to be able to go out there in a Hell in a Cell with no one there, with not one live fan in the audience, and perform at that level, and perform at that level of brutality, and perform at that level of selflessness for your body, is absolutely incredible. There's no more I can really say about it. The level of professionalism that they brought, the level of aggression that they brought, you just can't knock these two. You really can't. They hacked literal lumps out of each other, as in there are pieces of skin wedged between the sections of the kendo sticks and in the cell. Like, it's gross. But, you know, that just goes to show what this feud means for Drew McIntyre, what it means for Bobby Lashley, and obviously what it means for the fans watching at home looking forward.
Yeah, I love what you said there as well. I remember speaking to Kofi after Mania 36. You remember they had the ladder match there, the freeway, and again in front of nobody. And he was just like, it hurts, right? Like, it's hard to drive yourself.
It hurts 100,000 times more when there's no one to look at and go. When there's no kid in the front row to kind of reach out to and tell him just how much that did hurt, you know, just how battered you are. You know, having that automatic interaction, that automatic response from the fans at ringside means so much more. And it gives you that extra little bit of edge to get up that little bit quicker and get on with it. And yesterday they did that with no one there. And that's just incredible.
Ginny, I think it's a tremendous, I mean, as partisan as I am to Drew McIntyre, I do think it's amazing that Bobby is finally getting the run that he deserved in the main event with a world title. It was a long time coming in many eyes. And this was another great showcase for him. Could be possibly moving on to other things at SummerSlam. I know Brock Lesnar stays on people's lips, but what do you think about Bobby Lashley and the match last night?
16 years it actually took him to get to this point. 16 years. I mean, the dedication, the passion, the determination he has, you know, it's not easy to go in and perform at such a top level night in, night out. Yet, you know, just like Trent said, they do. And that match as well, it's absolutely brutal. But that's how much, you know, being the champion means to them. And it is so nice to see him, you know, finally at the top of the division, holding that title. Do I think he would have walked out as champion if he didn't have MVP there? No. I really, really don't. I think Drew had that match won. And it's such a shame as well, especially with the stipulation of if Bobby beats Drew, that he can no longer challenge for the title whilst Lashley has it. You know, it's a bit controversial. It wasn't really a strong win. And, you know, the interference of MVP, it is such a shame to see, you know, that Drew can't go after it. But like you said, Bobby has got so many more feuds. There are going to be definitely so many more people coming after him to take that title. And I'm just going to put it out there, just like you said as well, Alex, I'd love to see Bobby versus Brock Lesnar. I think that would be a very good match.
So just to add to that as well, if Drew wants to take, you know, a little bit of a, you know, take his foot off the gas a little bit, have a little bit of a rest, and then, you know, once again, jump on a plane, come on over, NXT UK will happily just give him that nice little comforting blanket of give him that taste of wrestling that, you know, he's been missing so much, because he got absolutely pummeled. And in fairness, so did Bobby Lashley. So, you know, if you wanted to take your foot off the gas, pop on over to NXT UK. We'll look after you.
I don't know if Volta and Ilya and that will look after him. I'm not going to lie.
I was just about to say, a couple of episodes ago on the running as well, you were saying, Trent, you know, would love to see Drew versus Walter. That would be a fantastic match.
So yeah, I'd prefer to see Drew versus me, but yeah.
Oh, you're out there now. I want to see Drew versus Walter first.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets.
In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome back to the Talk Wrestling Podcast on the Fight Night feed with Talk Sport. You just heard the Hell in a Cell review with NXT UK stars Trent Seven and Ginny. Big thanks to them. But next up is Grant Holt, former Premier League striker, legend around the parts of Nottingham Forest and Norwich. And of course, you're about to learn a lot about his pro wrestling journey.
Former Premier League striker and, yeah, dare I say, a legend among many clubs. Grant Holt, how are you doing, my man?
Yeah, I'm really good. Really, really good. Legend's a bit loose, I think, but no, I'm not too bad, actually.
I've got friends that are Norwich fans. They're very fond of you.
Yeah, no, I was lucky. I said, when you've had that many clubs, someone's going to like you, so you've got to do somewhere. No, yeah, I'm very, very lucky. I was it was good journey. Good journey.
Well, I mean, speaking of journeys, one of the things that really caught my eye at the tail end of your career was your move into wrestling. I'm sure there was a lot of people that were like, whoa, hang on a minute, Grant Holt in wrestling. I understand, obviously, you've been a fan of it for a long time. So we'll get into, you know, that journey with, I believe it was the Norfolk-based AWA, right? The Knight family and that good stuff. Talk to me then about, as a kid, is that when it all started for you, WWE fan? What was it?
Yeah, I think when I was a kid, it was all about big giant haystacks, Big Daddy rolling into town every other week, and you went down there and watched it on a Saturday, and you kind of watched it. It was something to do when we enjoyed it. The crowd was good. The atmosphere was really, really good. And then obviously from there, it was kind of, we were probably, my era was when WWE had started really taking off on the telly, and obviously Undertaker, Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, that kind of era. I was fortunate enough that was the era that I was in. So I just loved it. Loved everything about it. I said, you're growing up. As you get older, you get the premise of it. You know what it's like, and you see it. It's just one of the things that I just always enjoyed. I didn't really know much about it in terms of what it entailed and how hard it was.
Yeah.
You knew they were putting on, doing stuff, watching it in amazement, thinking, how are they doing that? And how do they make it look so easy? When I stepped into the ropes, when I got asked to do it, I was even more amazed at how hard it was and how easy to make it look. Because anyone that's done it, it'll really let you know that it's really, really damn hard to get in there to do some of the stuff that they do. Even simple stuff, trying to close lines of stuff and get hit with one and trying to take it where it doesn't hurt and stuff like that, and try and make sure you land properly. And the finer details are the biggest thing that are hardest to learn. You think the hardest thing to learn would be a from somersault off the top rope, but that's pretty easy compared to some of the stuff. It was just kind of, yeah, that was it. Watching it growing up, watching this thing, as I said, as you get older, you kind of, your time's less, you're busy and you kind of lose touch with it a little bit. And then, yeah, like you said, I got approached by the WAW. They were doing a charity event here and asked me if I'd be interested in going in it and doing a little bit of a little bit of swan song at the end, join in. And I basically said yes, because that's the kind of guy I am. If someone gives a challenge, I'll just do it. Yeah. I was like, well, it's a charity, so why not go and do it? And that's basically how it started. It was all because they wanted me to do a charity. And basically what happened was, the day that they'd said we could do it, I can now do it, because I had stuff on at work and I was still playing and I couldn't really do it. So I said to them, look, I'm going to have to cancel, which is not very like me. So I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Next year, I'm definitely retiring. So if you put on another show, I'll do it. And Yeah, and that was it, basically. I retired a little bit earlier than I thought, and that was it. I was in.
Because you ended up winning a battle royal, right? Like, I think some of us thought it might be the start of a proper run or something. Did you ever think, oh, well, coming straight out of play and I might just get into this?
Yeah, well, I did enjoy it. So it started off where I'll just do it. Then it started off, well, if I'm going to do a show, why don't I do it properly for the year and start building up to the show? So what I didn't want to be is I didn't want to be a person that just stands on the side of the ropes, comes in, gives someone a slap, and then lie down and pin them. That was something I didn't want to be. If I want to do it, I want to do it properly. So I want to know holds, I want to know ins and outs, I want to know how you do it, I want to know how to hit this, what can it be, how do you do that. I wanted to do it properly. I wanted to give it the dessert, the kind of, I don't know, like the true thing of what wrestling is, try and show people, look, I can, if you really want to do it, and kids like me when I was younger, if I didn't know what I'd known now that there was people done it in the background and you could learn wrestling when you was a kid, I'd have been all over it. But it just wasn't there where I was. So yeah, that was basically it. So that's how it started. I ended up getting more involved and said, well, if I'm going to do a big show, why don't I try and get as big as I can? I spoke to Norwich City, which I'm lucky enough to have a good relationship with. I said, look, this is what I'm thinking. Thought they'd laugh me out of the room. And because Big Ben Tunnel is a massive wrestling fan, he's like, absolutely, let's try and do it. So it kind of went from being this show that I was going to go in to end up like picking Billy Gunn up from the airport and looking next to him, he's falling asleep next to me in the car, and he's got a big WWE Hall of Fame ring on his hand, which was just like mind-blowing. I've been very fortunate to meet quite a lot of people, but it was just a bizarre moment when I'm driving down the motorway. I've just picked Billy Gunn, one of my idols from younger in that era, and he's lying in my car with a WWE Hall of Fame ring in his thing. So it was just like, oh my God. And
he's massive as well, isn't he, Billy Gunn?
Oh, he's actually massive.
You don't think that's it, but he is.
Yeah, I don't think people realise, like, his hand was like, because I've got big hands, but his hand was absolutely massive. But what a great guy. Mm. Absolutely great guy. And that was it. So we had this show. So I ended up going from being a little show to end up having 4,000 fans at Carrow Road. I think it's one of the biggest independent records in the UK for an event. And it was absolutely brilliant. And I absolutely loved it. And that was basically, yeah. But I've been asked to do loads since. Loads of people asked me to kind of do stuff. And obviously with, like, everyone wrestling, struggling big style in the UK with the lockdown stuff. And that kind of curtailed it quite a bit. Obviously, I've done a few events with, obviously, Anthony Ogogo, who's now in AEW. And it was kind of a lot of more, I've been asked to do a lot more stuff. And it was just the fact of COVID and stuff. I just haven't got time to really give it that 100%. So I'll be back in at some point. I said it'd be more so charity events, I think, now, trying to go in and raise money for around Norfolk or wherever that is, because why wouldn't you? That's what I mean. Yeah. Why wouldn't you do it? I never understand why people say no to like charity stuff. If it's a case of you going in and looking silly or whatever you want to be and do it, why would you not do it? As long as it's going to make people money, what difference does it matter?
What's there to lose, mate? There's nothing to lose. Yeah. Anthony Gogo's doing great as well, by the way.
Yeah, he's doing really well. And he's another one. Like, when he started doing the wrestling with WAW, he was like, I want to know the ins and outs. The first one he came in was just a hit. Then he learned a little bit more. Then he was in the ring with Ricky Knight, who's fantastic. He'll probably be the next one who's probably going to go down the WWE route because he's that good. So maybe the next one I would have thought out of that crop. And Anthony was another one. Just wanted to work hard, do the right things, make sure he could do it justice. And fair play to him. He's in there now and he's absolutely smashing it, literally.
Yeah, absolutely. So is that what, is the Knight family, the guys that trained you then?
Yeah, so the Knights, they were the guys that came up to me, Roy, and I knew obviously Roy a little bit through football and being locally. And then obviously he was the one that approached me with Rob Butler, Rob Butler does the refereeing here, but he's like one of the radios, the BBC Norfolk radio people for the football. So between the whole combination, it was them. And then obviously I trained with Ricky, Roy and the dad and Saraya and the whole clan and Zach and stuff. And then obviously, and that was it. So, but just COVID just killed everything, really.
Yeah.
We got we got the momentum of Fightmare. There was a real big bounce off it. Their shows were up. There was more people going in. Then obviously, you can't fight against a global pandemic. You're never going to win.
And you mentioned Billy Gunn as well. But there's a host of guys that come through the Knights in their territory, like Mick Foley as well. Like, did you have the pleasure of meeting some other legends?
Yeah, I met Mick. Obviously, I met Soraya when she was over. We got quite a few and went over for the show, so it was good. I've got a real appreciation for how hard they work, especially the indie scene and in England, how hard they work. And I followed Ricky for 2 weeks, gone a few different shows and in and out and round. And you think the amount of hours they put in for not a lot of money is phenomenal. And you see them, and it's great when you go and watch them and stuff. I go down to Yarmouth when they do their shows down there at the caravan site and stuff. They're absolutely brilliant. It's still one of the best things you can see, to go and see a wrestling show at one of the caravan sites, because it's just brilliant the way they do it. Completely different from the mainstream. All much about getting crowd interaction and stuff like that, but they're absolutely great. I said they've been fantastic. The way the detail, they're brilliant. Every one of them, you watch them wrestling, it's just phenomenal to watch.
Welcome back to the Talk Wrestling Podcast. Alex McCarthy here, coming to you from the Fight Night feed on TalkSport. We've had a great show here with the Hell in a Cell review with NXT UK stars Trent Seven and Ginny. Make sure to check out what they thought about last night's pay-per-view. We've also had Grant Holt on the show, former Premier League striker turned wrestler in his spare time, I'll say. But now we've got Al Ferran, world-renowned impressionist, Conor McGregor specialist, and he's got a special Brock Lesnar for us coming up next here on Talk Wrestling. Oh, I'm delighted to finally get you on the show, man. I've been a big fan for a long time.
Ah, thank you, mate. Yeah, listen, it's all a bit of fun and games in what I do, you know.
I've got to say, Simon, I'm going to tell a very small story, and Al won't know this because I've never told him and he might not remember, but I first met Al at a Floyd Mayweather was in Birmingham, right? And I was working for Give Me Sport at the time. And we were like Facebook streaming, I believe, Facebook Live, the whole Floyd Mayweather Q&A. And then Al popped up as Conor McGregor right before they were about to fight. It was so, so good. You must have been pinching yourself, Al.
That was a crazy moment. I remember that now, Alex, yes. Yeah. Because I remember Give Me Sport were there and they were it was live streamed, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. It's there in infamy forever.
And I remember, because I went on stage maybe an hour and a half before Floyd was to go on. And I remember I think a few of his 50 strong entourage had heard my Conor McGregor impression and they kind of reported it back to him. And then he basically told the promoter that I was to get involved in the Q&A at the end of the show. And I remember I had I was an hour window to think of what I was going to do with Floyd Mayweather on stage. And it was a pinch me moment. And I'd like to say I was a part of the build up in the Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather fight in 2017.
I'm saying you were. Simon, you're booked. You're booked by me. He's booked by Floyd Mayweather. There you go.
I think he wins. I think he absolutely wins. I mean, that is, again, I remember when that was all going on and I was just watching from afar. Like, this is, again, I said it before we started like chatting here, like, it's just such a surreal existence that you have, Al, and I'm massively enviable of it because I just think it's so cool. Because I honestly am floored by any impressionist, because it's one of those things that everybody would love to do, but the fact you're able to do it so well and create all of these kind of scenarios that sound like you've made them up is absolutely tremendous.
thank you, mate. That's kind of the secret ingredient to it. It's putting these kind of, you could say, characters in the most obscure situations, you know, and that's kind of what, I suppose, that's what's appealing, you know. I enjoy doing it. I enjoy doing it very much. Like, I have a 2-year-old now and I'm learning all of the Peppa Pig characters and all of the Pixar characters. And that's really fun. That's really fun, I have to say. I'm trying to cater to a brand new audience.
Peppa Pig's the biggest heel in the game, Al.
Oh, big time. I think she's a spoiled brat, though. I think she's a little bit spoiled.
So I'm saying. She's not nice to her daddy. She gets bad heat.
She gets heat in my household, I'll tell you that. You just mentioned there as well, you're Conor McGregor, man. You know, you were saying before you come on air, that could be a way for you to get in WWE one day, right?
It could. I mean, you know, if he was to ever appear, you know, if he was to ever be involved in a WrestleMania build-up, which I think it's inevitable in the future, like, you know, it has to happen. I mean, bring me in Monday Night Raw, whoever he's facing. You know, I come out as the Gilbert version of Conor McGregor and confront his opponent and take a few bumps. I mean, that'd be me. But, you know, I'd happily retire after that.
But what does that mean, though? I mean, you... Sorry, go on, man.
No, I was literally just about to throw to you. You go for it.
Well, I was going to say, like, if you're going to play the Gilbert role... That, you know, we have to go with the stereotypical storyline that WWE goes with. It means that Conor McGregor gets to destroy you at some point, which I've seen your interactions with Conor on Twitter, man. He may actually just go, screw it, I'm going in.
Possibly, and I think that might happen. I mean, if they were to stretch my appearances out to from a Raw to WrestleMania, my God, I'd be delighted.
I'd buy it. I'd pay for that match. I truly, truly would.
Al, I thought I saw a Stone Cold Steve Austin up your sleeve.
Yeah, I may as well give that an L.
You know, you may as well bring down the line. I may as well talk about my podcast. You know, I haven't gone back there in a while. But yeah, man, we were shooting some of the breeze, and we were talking about some of the hunting places out there in Nevada. And that's an incredible place, man.
When you said shooting the breeze, that was, oh my God, dead on. Oh my word.
He always talks about Rey Mysterio. He goes, man, I had a little Rey Mysterio on the podcast last week. I mean, he's a cool cat.
Yeah, he absolutely does what you said as well. I can't do it, but Steve Austin's always like, yeah, and then I got in this truck and I went up hunting, and it's always like, he's just got a million stories of what he's doing around his ranch before he actually gets to what he's talking about.
I love how he goes into like an incisive detail about the new engine in his 1995 pickup truck. You know, I think it's so fascinating.
Al, is Stone Cold's era around when you got into wrestling? Was it before? Yeah. Talk to me about where the love started, man.
Yeah, the love started for me in 1998. So that was, I mean, the glory days, Attitude Era. I tuned in. I remember it being on Sky Sports. I mean, I think the beauty of it was back then, lads, was, you know, we didn't know, you know, what happened after Monday Night Raw. We had to wait a couple of days. We didn't have the internet. So we'd wait until Friday at 10 o'clock to tune in to actually know what happened. You know, you'd actively, you'd have to go on to WWE.com on your Windows 95 computer. But I remember as a kid, I'd have to wait until Friday, and it was just the longest wait ever, but it was amazing. You know, watching Raw on a Friday night in Sky Sports, and then SmackDown the next morning, which was a year later in 99. It was just, you know, listen, I think we over-talk about it a little bit, but it was just an unbelievable time to be a wrestling fan, you know?
It really was. Yeah, it really was the best as well. I mean, the fact that here we are in 2021, and, you know, I'm sure you can do a plethora of different impressions, but you do Stone Cold, and we all go, yeah, Stone Cold. You know, all these layer kind of sums it up. But I get that everybody always asks this question, but I am intrigued. Like, when you sit down to try and mimic Stone Cold Steve Austin, where do you even begin with that? Like, because I always notice the impression is where they start doing the impression, their face almost molds to the person that they are, you know, sort of doing off. Do you start with facial expressions, or is it something else entirely?
That's funny, because that kind of, the facial expressions come naturally with the voice. And that is so, it's such a weird process. You don't even realize it when you're doing it, but you're actually, you know, the facial expressions are just, you know, coming naturally with kind of trying to learn the voice and find the inflections in the impressions. So it's a strange old thing. I've never actually had to, you know, impersonate a celebrity and think about kind of a process of step one, voice, and step two, facial expressions. It's always just kind of come naturally.
It's funny you say that as well, because your De Niro is dead on in inflection and face.
that was one of the first. That was one of the first, De Niro. You know, but De Niro's kind of, you know, I can talk to you like this, and, you know, he there's not much to the voice. You know, he's kind of very much like that. You know, the older Robert De Niro, the kind of, you know, the mature Robert De Niro, and maybe not the Robert De Niro from maybe the 80s and the 90s who talked like that, you know. It's kind of very, it's very neutral, you know.
I mean, Simon, I'm fascinated in terms of wrestling or wrestlers here. Are there any that you've tried, Al, or any that you've got on your list to do that you would like to get in your back pocket?
Who did I try? I tried Brock Lesnar.
I did not expect that. That's the last one I was expecting.
But, you know, when I'm talking like Brock, I'm talking like this. And if they're asking me to come back, I keep getting a call from Vince McMahon. And I tell him, tell me when the crowd's back. That's all I'm telling him. And I'll come in.
He really does speak with that inflection, doesn't he? Like every at the end of every sentence. Oh.
Surely there's a market for you, Al, just to kind of learn as like the current crop of wrestlers and then just do promo offs. Surely you could have a Patreon and a crowdfunding project just when you cut promos in the most random and bizarre way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wrestling, it's a strange one to try and, I suppose, it, like they're all kind of, I suppose, caricatures of themselves. So you're trying to kind of find a way in kind of turning that into a kind of a parody in a sense. So it is a little bit hard because they are on screen characters. But as you said, like when I do Stone Cold, I'm doing the Stone Cold Steve Austin, the podcast host, not the Stone Cold Steve Austin, Austin 316, you know, Texas Rattlesnake character. But I mean, I look at Roman Reigns now. I can't do Roman, but maybe some of his videos where he's on the treadmill. I think he posts it every Monday, or I post it every weekend about how he about like his update in the week, something like that. I could do, you know, but turn it into a parody in a sense.
You must have a Vince McMahon. You're fired. You must have one.
I love a Vince kind of, shut up.
Everybody has a Vince stored away somewhere, which is weird because it doesn't make any sense. Why, in what other industry would you sort of hold the CEO or the owner in such sort of great lights? You think, oh, we better do impressions of him. Like no one's doing impressions of the owner of the Premier League, are they? Like no one cares.
No. But that's the thing, Vince McMahon, he's one of a kind. So, you know, to impersonate everybody, he just has that kind of voice. Where it's easy enough to impersonate, you know, the character of Mr. McMahon.
There are some like wrestlers that are just lend themselves to impressions though. Like I guess the famous ones, Simon, you'll know what I'm talking about, like Macho Man, right? Like everyone does Macho Man. There's a few different ones I think where. You know, like Simon said, I never would have thought you were learning to do Brock Lesnar. I love how left field that is.
I know, it's so strange. Like, I impersonate a lot of actors, and I mean, one of my new impressions with actors is Woody Harrelson. You know, so you know, when I'm doing Woody, I talk like that, and it's very, you know, it's a process. And I mean, he plays the villain in plenty of movies and all that. So that's kind of a comparison to me doing the Brock Lesnar, you know. People will jump to doing Matthew McConaughey as an impression, but, you know, they wouldn't jump to doing a Woody Harrelson.
That's genius. Do you ever sort of forget who you are, Al? Because you just do other people's impressions so much. It's like Christian Bale, right? Christian Bale has lost his accent. Christian Bale is American, then he's English, and then he's something else. Do you ever just think, oh no, I cannot stop talking like, I don't know, you know, Conor McGregor or whoever?
Oh, I do. I get lost in the character when I'm performing live. Like, I really, I mean, I when I do Joe Pesci, I mean, it's game over. I become a completely different person. I become a psychopath, you know, and the crowd loves that. That's the beauty of that impression. The crowd loves that. They lap it up to me acting like a psychopath for about 2 or 3 minutes. They love that. So, yeah, you do. You kind of, when you're performing live, yeah, you definitely get lost in it. Like, I don't really, I'm switched on. You know, Al is kind of gone for those 30 to 45 minutes when I'm performing.
Al, it's been absolutely wonderful to have you here on Talk Wrestling, my friend. I hope we can do it again one day soon. Now that things are opening up, man, are we going to see you out and about doing bits?
Yeah. I mean, a couple of gigs coming up. I mean, there's a few. Josh Taylor, the Scottish boxer, he's doing a couple of sportsman dinners in Scotland at the end of August. So that's where you see me. It's in Glasgow and Edinburgh, two shows. So I'm looking forward to that. And it's really, things are opening up again. And, you know, as a wrestling fan, I'm looking forward to the 16th of July. Am I correct in saying that? That's when the first,
yep, first show. Yep.
Live crowd. Yeah, I think it'll be a special show. And, you know, as much, I mean, listen, I've watched the product for over 20 years now. And yeah, I do complain the odd time about it. But I think it'll be a great show on the 16th of July when they have the fans back in, you know.
Yeah, they're definitely going to load up, I think, Simon. And I think I speak for Simon and I when I say hopefully we can catch you at a show soon, my man.
Oh, man, 100%. Hopefully, 100%.
Man. Hopefully. And hopefully you catch me at WrestleMania in Dallas next year. I'm looking at going.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's all I needed, Simon. There you go. I'm thinking of a live show already. There you go.
I'm gonna come and just shout out wrestlers' names and make you do impromptu wrestler impressions.
No problem.
Yeah. Awesome, Al. Thank you so much for your time today, man. Thank you for joining Talk Wrestling.
Pleasure, lads. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks to our guest tonight, Al Ferran, Grant Hull, Ginny, Trent Seven, all stopping by the Talk Wrestling podcast on the Fight Night feed. You can find us there every single week in the middle of the week after the shows that are on Mondays on TalkSport 2. Make sure you stop by with us on Monday evenings to get all of your wrestling news and interviews. I've been Alex McCarthy. Will Gavin will be back next week as well. Thank you for joining us here on the Talk Wrestling podcast.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.